peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
Have you ever considered books, especially long books and novels? I wondered, how does anyone sit down and think about the process so that you go from start to the process of unfolding until it comes to a conclusion and it keeps your interest? Here's another question. Why are there more than one gospel in the New Testament? The Apostle John tells us, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is very important, and Pastor Pancho will be teaching us about the Gospel of John as we take a look at an introduction on this edition of On the Level Radio, coming up next.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
And now with today's program of On the Level, here's Pastor Pancho.
Now, before we get to the author, the timeline, the purpose, and so forth, there's a couple of things that I want you to understand. We hear this word, synoptic gospels. Synoptic. Now, if we cut that word, the Greek word, in half, if I say optic, what does that mean? The eyes. What is synko? Well, syn means equal. So they have an equal viewing. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is the term from the Greek synoptikos, which means seeing together or having a common view. That's what synoptic gospel means. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they often recount the same stories about Jesus of Nazareth, though not always with all the same details and at the same length, but mostly following the same sequence and to a remarkable extent using the same words. So basically, although it's a different angle, it's a different perspective, it's like you, and you watch an accident, and you mentioned the same accident, but you said, it was a green car. And you say, it was a Chrysler green car. And then you said, it had four wheels. You understand? The same accident, but you give us a big input, four wheels, that's a car. And so it is the same view, but looked at it from a different perspective. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels. The Gospel of John is not part of that. Because John, in a moment I'll share with you, John doesn't even tell us absolutely nothing about the birth of Christ. He gets to the jugular of everything. In the beginning was the Word. Boom! Immediately. He don't mess around. You know, there were some shepherds coming in. No! Immediately he comes out like, Jesus is God. Boom! That's it. Why? I mean, why did John have to be so forceful? You need to understand that around 30 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, there was already weird people. There were already people with magazines in the donut shops in Israel already. There were already people in their camels bothering people on Saturday mornings already. There were cults. There were many people who were saying Jesus could not have a body. He's God, he's deity, he cannot have a human body. Oh no, he's a spirit. And then the Gnostics, in a moment I'll share with you about the Gnostic people. The word gnosis means knowledge. The Gnostics believe that not only the Holy Spirit was needed in your life, you needed a certain knowledge. And spiritually, when you get to the level of knowledge, you will be able to comprehend the scriptures. And thus, the Gnostics were revealed. And these were people that were pompous. They were arrogant in their teaching. They believed that you ignorant people cannot understand the word of God. You need me to give you the description of the things of God. And once you get to the level of me, you can teach the other ignorant people. How sad and how tragic. The Bible comes to the ignorant. The Bible comes to the uneducated. The gospel comes to those who are messed up. People were criticizing John, called Johannine scriptures, Johannine after John. They were saying John was a fisherman. John was not educated. And it tells us in the book of Acts that they were saying these people are not educated. What kind of education are we speaking about? There's academic education and there's also biblical education. You understand? Biblical education is far more superior because it deals with the spiritual content. Academics is all about remembering. That's all it is. You pass your test because you're remembering. It doesn't make you smart. It just means you got a good memory retention. That's all. And you go through the exams, you go through the examinations and the certification, the accreditation. It's just memory. It's just memory. So they were saying John was not educated. How can he write so well? Well, when he wrote, keep in mind, when he wrote the gospel, he had been already a Christian like around 50 years. Do you think as a Christian that you can be self-taught, self-educated as a Christian 50 years after being born again? Absolutely. It happened to me. I hated school. My transcripts, I got my transcripts, by the way, from Oswego High School. Is that true? I wanted to flash back. Why did I have, you know, I mean, it looked like I was a Chinese student. I had foo and everything. F-U-U. Fail. Unsatisfactory. Unsatisfactory. Everything. Foo, foo, foo. And then in history, do. Physical. A-U-U. That's it. And I hated school. But I share it with my testimony. I had to be in a Christian around, let me see, 75. And around 78, 3 years after I became a Christian, because see, I was going to East LA College just to get my GI Bill. You know, I had badminton, I had basketball, I had Chicano Studies 101, I had to study Cesar Chavez and Pio Pico, and the Suit Suiters from 1941. That's education. And I was just messing around. East LA College back then, not now. Now it's a fortified institute of higher learning. But in my days, was just a high school with asterisks. That's all. And so I didn't want to go to school, and I didn't want to go to school to learn anything. But I became a Christian, and I became serious about my education. Not that I'm educated now. I graduated from East LA College. I got my AAA from East LA College. And then I went to Cal Poly Pomona for 2 years. And I need 2 more years to get my bachelor's. I knew that I could have made it, but the Lord had other plans for me. What are the plans? I wanted to quit because I wanted to go to Bible school. There is no money in Bible school. I wasn't going for the money. I was going there because God had placed in my heart to learn more about Him and to learn the right way. And thus, my story began. I developed. And so, John is the author of this. Now, the word Christology, you need to understand, because John, he speaks mostly about the Christology. What is Christology? The study of Christ as revealed in the Bible. His deity, his incarnation, his offices. What are his offices? Priest, prophet, and king. Priest, prophet, and king. Those are three of his offices. His sacrifice, his resurrection, his teachings, his relation to God and man, and then the second coming, his return. That's what John is so different about the synoptic gospels. Do you know what synoptic gospels are now over there? You know what synoptic gospels are, right? So when you read that, it won't trip you out. Like, trip out, what does this mean? It just means that Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about the same thing, but not John. John even does not even speak about the trip, what happened in Galilee. He omits everything, the ministry of Galilee. He omits it, but he emphasizes more on the ministry in Judea/Jerusalem. John takes a lot of time to speak about what Jesus spoke to them personally. John chapter 13, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, 16, 17. We have a whole pages in the Bible. They're full of red because Jesus has a conversation with his disciples. It's a personal ministry. The other gospels do not speak like that. So he speaks about Christology. And then the next thing that I want to see that you ought to know is the deity of Christ. What is the deity of Christ? The essential nature of God. It is a term that indicates that Christ's nature is divine from all eternity, although he took on human nature at his incarnation while still retaining his deity. The word incarnation is not in the Bible at all, but it's taken from John chapter 1:1, verse 14 and verse 18, and specifically with verse 14. Because when the Bible was translated from the Greek into the Latin, the Bible says, and the Word of God became flesh. That is when they change, when you translate it into the Latin Bible, the word says incarnatio, that God took human form. We just celebrated last month Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus coming into this world to put on humanity. And John from the get-go says, Jesus, God, existed way from the beginning. He is the creator. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He created everything. Nothing was created without his hands upon it. It was him who came to this world and put on human flesh. And from there on, there was a great revolution, because the gospel changed so many people, and they believed it, and they accepted it, and they said, Jesus is Lord. Because they were saying, like today, Jesus is not God. Jesus is only the brother of Lucifer. Others are saying that he's only an angel, that he's a spirit, but he's not God. The Bible here in the book of John does not give us any room to think otherwise. When you get to all the chapters, you're going to get to chapter 14 when he says, Nathaniel, if you've seen me, you've seen who? My Father. I and my Father are what? One. There's no room to negotiate. The only people that this calls today, the only people they go after are the little chickens or chicks. These are hawks. And when they come, see, they don't come to my house. I told you that. They go into my house. I have the door open, man. I practice. I hear them. They're coming down the block because our dogs have a certain symphony of barking. Woo, woo, woo. And I know that strangers are coming in. How many know what I'm talking? I'm not messing around, man. My neighborhood. When all the dogs start talking a certain way, I can hear them. Here they are again. They're all dressed up. And I'm saying, I'm ready. And I walk outside, you know, pretending I'm checking in my car, see if my alarm is on. And sure they come. There's three houses down, and I'm waiting for them. But this one, they come to my pad, and they do this. Oh, no. And then they leave. Why? Because I opened the door for them. I said, what's up? What's happening, man? And I, you know, and I'm at home. My hair's all messed up, and I get out. And I said, what's happening? What's going on? And they're a little shocked because I'm a little too friendly. And I don't have my Bible with me. I don't have anything. There's times I take their Bible. It's not very often because my kids are here. They're saying, Dad, when have you done that? Well, that's the last time. I take their Bible and I say, well, listen, it says here in Isaiah. Boom, boom, and it says here. And it says that. By this time, they're trained. They're trained to counter every scripture you have. And when you start asking them, and pretty soon they say, you know, we better call for an elder. I said, call your elder. No, I don't talk like that. I said, sure. Summon your elder. I said, but you know what? I'm not interested in your elder. You're the one that's concerned. If you're concerned about me, are you doing this as an obligation, out of duty, because this is what you have to do? Or are you doing it because you care for my soul? If you care for my soul and you think I'm wrong, why don't you come? Let's make an appointment. None of them have made an appointment with me. Why? Because they made a notation. He knows the scriptures. And all they don't really know the scriptures. It's just like you and I, before we became Christians, we're saying, well, we're Christians. You're Christians. Yeah, but I've never read the Bible. I don't practice it. I was born into this religion. Yeah, my grandma, my mom, everybody, you know, when I was baptized, a little kid, you know, that's the way we are. But we never did anything. I never read anything. I don't even know what I believe. I said, well, you're just like 99% of us, because we don't know what we believe either. We just live it. We think that's the way it is. Tradition, culture, ethnicity and culture and stupidity and ignorance. And I'm not trying to be mean. It's just the way it is. And these people go after those people that are in ignorance, and they bring the wrong gospel. That's why John had to come out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with us and became flesh. And so, who's the author? Well, in your handout, it says, in the strict sense of the term, the fourth gospel is anonymous. But it doesn't mean you cannot know who wrote it, because the author indirectly reveals himself within the writing. You know, this what we call internal evidence and external evidence. We don't want to go to the external evidence, because you have to quote all the church fathers from the first century: Irenaeus, Polycarp, Eusebius, Panchosis, all those. We don't want to mention all those people. That's external. They speak about Johannine being the author. But the internal, you find that in John 21:24, when John says, "This is the disciple who testified with these things and wrote these things, and we know that this testimony is true." And you find that in John 21:24. So he identifies himself as the disciple. He spoke of him in the third person. John is the only one that said, "This is the disciple that Jesus loved." He speaks about himself. He says, "This is the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is the disciple that rested his head in Jesus' bosom," or Jesus' breast. He speaks around four times, identifies himself as this apostle in the third person. So we know from internal evidence, and we know from external historical extra biblical scripture, that John is assigned to this particular authorship. In John 19:35, it says, "And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe." So we have internal evidence that this is Johann, or John the Beloved. Now, it can be John, the brother of James in the Bible, because he was killed. He was martyred by Herod, so it couldn't be him. So this is John all the way. Now, John had a friend by the name of Polycarp. Polycarp knew him personally, and then they knew him, so they knew that the writings came from John. John was combating some weird doctrines that came as early as 30 years, 40 years after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And ever since then, we've had cults. We had people that said, "This is not God, this is not Jesus, this is not who he said he was, and he's a ghost, and he didn't have human flesh." When we read the book of John, John tells us that he was eating fish and honey, fish and chips, after his resurrection. There's a deliberate purpose why he wrote that, because spirits cannot consume, they cannot digest. And yet the Bible says in John chapter 21 or 22 that Jesus was having fellowship after he rose from the dead. He was having broiled fish by the Sea of Galilee, and spirits cannot eat. So there's a definite precision in how John talks about Jesus Christ. Timeline and authorship. Most people believe John is the last of the gospel accounts to be written. It was penned sometime between AD 45 and 100. I like that, because there's some people that argue, "Yeah, it was around 50. Yeah, no, it was around 62 AD. Who cares? He wrote it between, I like this, from 45 to AD 100. You pick one day. You think it's 85? You think it's 86? You think it's 92? So what? He wrote it. That's it. We're not going to split hairs about when he wrote it. What time was it? It was Friday. It was 2 o'clock. No, it was Wednesday. I was there. No way. Don't worry about it. He wrote it. Now, what's the purpose of the book? In John chapter 20, he gives you the purpose. In John chapter 20, verse 30, he gives you the purpose. I don't have to design or invent. He said this. Listen to what it said. John chapter 20, verse 30, he said, "And truly, Jesus did make many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these, the signs that were written in the Gospel of John, these are written that you may" what? "Believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have" what? "Life in his name." So he wrote the book and the gospel with a specific mind that the believers will have faith that will be so encouraging, John was not writing the gospel to the non-believer. He was encouraging the believers, but guess what happened? It became such an evangelical gospel that his gospel was so powerful that even the non-believer, man, when they will get the gospel of John and when they will read it from the heart, by the time they get to the chapter, what we call them chapter one chapters back then, when they get to the last chapter of John, they will cry out, Lord, come into my life. I believe you're the Son of the living God. It was that powerful. I encourage you, don't wait for me on Wednesday nights. I would encourage you that if you don't have a quiet time system, that you will take the Gospel of John and let that be your devotion. Let that be your commitment to God. You read at night, you read in the morning, but read it diligently that God may speak to you. I hope that you have a nice study Bible so it can help you to understand the penmanship of this wonderful man, the writing of John. Now, the most significant feature of John's theology is the presentation of Christ. The major purpose was theological, but indeed it was far more Christological. Now, you know what Christology means, right? The study of Jesus, his deity, his works, his commandments, his teachings, his second coming. And in John, he speaks of the seven great I ams. The other synoptic gospels don't have it. I am the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the bread. And he has seven of the great I ams. The other gospels do not. Now, doubtless, the author had other purposes as well. And I share with you that he had to combat heresies, cults, people that were misinterpreting the scriptures. Something John wrote to supplement the other gospels, and that could be true. The gospel of John was aimed to produce faith in Jesus as Christ and Son of God within the body of Jesus Christ. John's portrait of Jesus is the most theological of the four gospels because his work presents a Jesus that existed with God and as God before the creation of the universe, and God entered his creation as a human being, lived among his creatures, and his very act and teaching calls us to believe in him as Savior and Lord. John wrote mostly about the incarnation of Christ. John speaks about the Lord's emotions. He cried, he sweat, he ate, he was fatigued, he was compassionate, he was sorrowful, he even cried. John shows the man just like you and I. Ladies, when I say men, I mean anthropos, I mean humanity. Jesus is presented to you by John as a mere man, but he's more than a man. He's God. And therein lies the big difference from the other synoptic gospels. He brings the heart of God in the writings here in the gospel. It's not a synoptic gospel, as I shared with you. Now, the fourth gospel, as the Gospel of John is called, the fourth gospel, or Johannine writing, the fourth gospel explains the mystery of the person of Jesus. Listen to what one writer said, quote, like other men, he is yet unlike them, standing above them in unique solitary grandeur. When's this uniqueness? The synoptic gospels present it, but do not account for it. John takes us behind the scenes of Jesus' earthly ministry, letting us see the eternal origin and divine nature of this man who was more than a man. He was eternally present with God, active in creating the world, the source of the moral and spiritual nature, way, truth, and light, bread of life of man, unquote. You see, the gospel, it has a message for the humble disciple of the Lord and for the most advanced theologian. For anybody, the Gospel of John is basically the study of Christology, the study of Jesus Christ as revealed in the Bible.
If the people in biblical times could get caught up with the theories of their day, we run the risk of doing the same. The Gospel of John is a positive book that strives to maintain a proper spiritual fellowship with Jesus and each other. There's a lot to learn in this Gospel of John, as Pastor Pancho will unfold for us, as we have just scratched the surface on today's program of On the Level. Well, for the latest news and information, to know anything and everything about our ministry here at the Ark Montebello, as well as being able to review this study again, Simply go to our official website. That's where you will find everything you need to know about us, all the social media links, as well as being able to hear this study again. Simply go to our website at thearcmontebello.com. That's thearcmontebello.com. It's there also. You can learn more about getting our ARC app, the free mobile app that we have available, by simply going to our website at thearcmontebello.com. And then please make it a point to join us for our next program of On the Level with Pastor Pancho Juarez.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
On the Level Radio is brought to you by the ARC Montebello in California.